But manifestation, like truthfully breaking it really down, is just actualizing and bringing the things that you want to fruition. And the fact that it's done not through like, you know, sit and think about your dream, you know, whatever, you're taking actionable steps.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. So tomorrow is a really auspicious day, especially for me. We celebrate Yule. That's our big holiday celebration. And I love all of these pagan rituals and celebrations because they feel really universal in the sense that most cultures around the world had their version of celebrating solstice tomorrow, which is the darkest night of the year. The longest night of the year. Well, the darkest night was actually the new moon a couple of nights ago, but the longest night of the year. And this particular Yule is really to celebrate the welcoming back of the sun. And so we're going to have, as I've been talking about, a family celebration tomorrow night with our entire family, and fire and candles are such a big part of it. My dad's in charge of making the Yule log and the fires, and we have a huge ranch in Cathays Valley, California, which is where I grew up, where he sets off fireworks into the sky. So it's very much about lighting the way into this next phase, into the year. And just like that, for manifestation, I have to applaud everybody who's been a deep part of the Daily Reprogramming Exercise Challenge, the DRE Challenge that we've been hosting since the beginning of November. If you're just tuning in now, click the link below where you can access it. And it's great because you can pick it up anytime. But the focus was really to buckle down on calling in our lists back in November and then doing the work to unblock what's in our way. And this is a whole roadmap that Kay and House put together for all of us to follow. And we go into the fourth week now, which is a lot about what we're taking into our subconscious, what we're still doing that doesn't light us up. So you'll want to definitely round out this last week by following that link below. It's free. And we have a really cool thing launching in January that will kind of kick off our new content distribution, which will really center on what's called the motivation. And seeking expanders is sort of the next step we are into coming into this new year. So look out for that. That should be coming out, I think it'll be Friday the 3rd. And otherwise, I hope everybody's getting this time to go inward and reflect on this year and what this year has represented for you, especially if you've been through trials and tribulations. Those are amazing. It shows that what you want wants to connect with you and come through. So if you've experienced the rock bottom or a lot of tests, a ton of triggers, you would only be up against that tension and friction if you're close to what you want, which is what's so, I think, exciting about this manifestation process. So I like to take inventory this week, a lot of next week of this year, and it's been a really cool one in-house. We've reached every single goal that we set out to reach, with the exception of one, but we've reached it all, and the team that we have now is just so incredible and inspiring. We have a lot of really cool ideas to bring in the new year and to make sure that this is a really supportive and expansive place for you to make it essentially the go-to brand for really grounded manifestation. So thank you for trailing around with us this year, and certainly go back and listen to some of the podcast episodes from this last year because they're incredibly expansive, certainly the process episodes. And that kind of parlays us into today. So today's episode, I'm really excited about. We came up with this concept in-house to essentially start having episodes called Explained. So this will be the first of our series, which is new, which is called Explained. And it's where we kind of break down manifestation in layman's terms, certainly very relatable subjects. So in the future, we want to really like take down lack mentality or boundaries. But today we actually kick off with kind of manifestation 101, something we sort of heard from friends, you know, within our team is we really wish we just had one episode that we could forward to anybody who we talk about this work around who's curious. So that's what we recorded today, is sort of a get back to basics 101. Certainly, if you've been doing this work, you will get a lot of incredible new takeaways from it. We dig in deep. And the most exciting thing is I get to introduce Jessica Gill, who is our media producer in-house, and she will start to become sort of a co-host of this podcast, namely going after the process episodes and hosting those for you. So taking, you know, real life pathway members, what they've manifested, their My Magnetic stories, and walking through their process of how they did it, what tests they came across, you know, aspects of the formula that they used. And she's incredible because she has her own podcast. She has extensive podcast experience, extensive production experience. She's an incredible speaker. And not only that, but she manifested this job. So she's done this work deep, deep through and through, and has amazing, refreshing insight. If you're in Supported, which is my bi-monthly class where I go through and answer all of the manifestation questions coming up. We've already launched an episode with her in it, and I'm sure many of you were so stoked because she had such deep and refreshing insight that I think you're going to grow to love her just as much as we do. And yeah, let's get back to basics today and have a lot of new takeaways from it. Here goes.
Okay, so let's start out. We're going back to basics, grounded manifestation. Let's start out with a quote. My manifestation process is built around rewiring the subconscious and raising your self-worth. Lacey, our manifestation expert, walk us through this.
Yeah, so I think, you know, many people tuning in, you've probably heard my story in a lot of different places. So I'll save that. But this manifestation process, we've actually never done an episode that really kind of encapsulates what we do here at To Be Magnetic. So we'll have people that write in and they're like, we really just want to send and share this to a friend, or, but we don't actually have one episode that just breaks it down a little bit of how this is different than the law of attraction or Think Positive. So that's sort of one branch of why we're doing this. And then the second is the episodes where we've rerun me on other people's podcasts have been so wildly successful and helpful to the listeners of this podcast that we really want to kind of corner this as sort of a teaching couch. So with that said, yeah, let's break it down a little bit. This may sound redundant for the couple of people, the many people who are familiar with this process, but the way I sort of discovered it is I tried the New Age Think Positive process from 17 to 25. So that encapsulates think positive, pretend to be what I already want, even though I'm not there yet, visualize, get into the vortex, be in vibration with. And it would help a little bit here and there, but it actually debilitated me a lot more than it helped me because I stayed in my comfort zone. I wasn't actually changing anything in my life, but I was spiritually bypassing, meaning that instead of dealing with the things that were making me insecure, sad, fearful, all the things that prevent us from action and actionables and raising our self-worth, I was being prevented in that model because I was so concerned with trying to just be more positive, more loving, in my heart space, happy all the time. And in fact, it wasn't allowing me to look at any of those root issues that are actually blocking me from what I wanted. So I always talk about that during that period, I was really stuck in waitressing and being a sort of working actress and being a doormat in relationships and living in shitty apartments and being broke all the time. Because truth be told, that is the programming I grew up with. And so getting back to your quote, what I started to figure out at 25 is that all of the things I just mentioned beforehand, thinking positive, being in the vortex, visualizing, they don't actually equate to our manifestation. It's actually when I started to realize when I was stepping into my self-worth, meaning looking at the things that were making me feel small, unworthy, insecure, low self-esteem, staying in those types of cycles of behaviors. When I started to look at those and shift them, I actually started to magnetize and manifest very quickly. So I kind of dropped all of that and looked at my patterning. And what came from it during kind of, I would say, 26, 27, like a 4-year incubation period of really starting to honor the gifts that I have, meaning that I can read energetics, I can channel, I have a lot of the senses, but I'm claircognizant. So really starting to honor those gifts and trust my intuition a lot more in conjunction with just very simple psychology that was coming through me along with figuring out a lot of neuroscience. And I realized that there is a way that we can shift all of the programming we learned when we were children. So what I started to discover, very simple psychology, ages 0 to 7, 14, if I'm being generous, that we imprint into our subconscious brain, it's literally simple psychology, these loops that we loop on. And so we figured out that our brain is, it functions a lot like plastic. It's changeable. In fact, we're constantly changing it through neuroscience. And so that can be something as simple as driving a different way to work. It completely starts to create a new synapsis to change the brain to function in a different way for survival mechanisms. So when I looked at sort of an energetic process of raising your self-worth, meeting neuroscience and addressing psychology. So meaning the inner child shadow, what I call blocks, that imprintation from childhood of 0 to 7, the thing that's still looping and projecting out and responsible for what we're manifesting literally day by day. I realized, oh, you can change all of this. And in fact, when you do, that's when you actually have loads of control over how you're manifesting and what you're manifesting.
Amazing.
Does that answer that?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think what's so fascinating about your process is that it's rooted so deeply in something so practical. I think manifestation gets this kind of buzzy, zeitgeisty word, and people who are in the wellness spiritual community, they're like, yes, manifestation, get it. But then there's this other, you know, sector of people who are like, I'm not into all of that stuff. But manifestation, like truthfully breaking it really down, is just actualizing and bringing the things that you want to fruition. And the fact that it's done not through like, you know, sit and think about your dream, you know, whatever, you're taking actionable steps based off of how the brain's wired, based off of how psychology is, you're able to bring like a more grounded aspect to it, which I think is so cool.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And truthfully, that's sort of our responsibility here at the brand, is to take a lot of those lofty spiritual teachings, such as like get into the vortex, you know, these really spiritual out there abstract things, and actually ground them into actionable, practical steps for people so that not everybody has to read energetics to understand it. And in fact, most of it is made up of again, psychology and neuroscience, it's simplistic. It's stuff that you may have learned in college in Psychology 101 and very simple neuroscience education that's out there in pop culture. It doesn't actually take like a deep dive into all of that to understand how truthfully rudimental, is that the right word? Rudimental? I don't know how
rudimentary.
To say it correctly. Exactly. Manifestation really can be, especially when you get the hang of it. And the universe really does this to us. And I use universe truthfully as a very just inclusive word. I wish I could say energetics because I think that could even be more inclusive for people who maybe don't buy into the spiritual aspect of things. Yeah. You know, and I certainly steer clear of God for people who are atheist. I just want to use the most inclusive thing. It's truly just understanding energy a little bit. Everybody gets energy. You walk into a room, you can feel the vibes of the room.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us are energetic beings. You look at animals, they have instincts. They have to survive based on their instincts. You know, we've gotten very far away from that. Especially in first world countries, but you look at an animal, they hear a sound, they peek their ears, they can feel what's going on. We all have that same capability. That's just energy, instincts, we can call it.
Yeah.
So if you understand instincts and manifestation, we can just say that to really boil it down to make it very inclusive, very human. You know, what will happen is we'll be pushed to our breaking point. Jumping off of a cliff can create tremendous amounts of magnetism because it goes totally against that thing that we've always heard where it's like, think positive, stay in the vortex. Well, it's like, actually, when you do steps that walk through fear to put you into your worth. So in jobs, when you're in a job that doesn't make you happy, it's safe, you're in it for all of the quote unquote wrong reasons that society or messaging that you've heard from, you know, family modeling, community modeling, educational modeling, and you're just there for safety or to be loved, you're actually shrinking your worth so low that when you jump off the cliff and leave, you're communicating very loudly through, again, those instincts, that energy. You're communicating that, look, I'm really afraid, but I know I'm worth more than this because I really believe that getting into our most whole, authentic, worthy selves is true magnetism, like pure magnetism. So taking that step towards that, which any of us can relate to in the human experience, I would argue everybody can relate to this in one aspect of their life or another, even though spirituality, which I'd argue we're kind of not a fully spiritual brand. We've actually like moved away from that in a lot of ways. We've just sort of been put into that box, can seem out there. But in fact, this is really, really practical, simplistic stuff. And when you kind of get all the tools in the tool bag, you get to create the exact life you want. And it just starts working for you. It's crazy.
100%. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I'm always like looking into the new self-help thing or interested in psychology. Like I've always been like sourcing this stuff ever since I've been very, very young. And there hasn't really been very clear action steps on like self-love, self-worth, and like really understanding like what that is. Like I truly don't believe that I had any concept of like true meaning of self-worth until like being introduced to the brand.
Well, I mean, you've done the workshops and you've certainly gone on to manifest things that you want. What does that actually mean for you on a physical, emotional, mental level, self-worth?
I think the preconceived version of self-worth before having like done the work and showed up for myself was, oh, that means I love myself. I love everything about myself. I feel like almost like everything's perfect. Like if I have self-worth and self-love, that means everything's perfect. And then coming in and doing the work, it's like, oh, okay, no. It's not at all perfect. Never. It's never going to be perfect. In fact, the perfectionism is a block. But
Agreed. It's
really just, it's less abstract than that. It's self-worth is saying, no, I feel deserving of this and I'm going to take action towards that thing. Like I'm going to unblock the beliefs that are making me loop an older pattern and I'm going to take action and steps towards someone who would feel confident in who they are. And it's almost like your worth catches up to your actions in that sense. And as you take action towards those steps, your worth catches up and your worth, you know, like you're kind of raising them at the same time. It's a way more tangible thing than, okay, I'm going to sit here and like all of a sudden all of my body issues are going to go away and I'm just going to love my body. It's going to be great. It's like, that doesn't happen. You can unblock things and understand where you got the programming from and then put that into action by like showing up for yourself in the world in different ways.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even I want to say, I may be paraphrasing this, but you know, roughly the definition of self-worth is a healthy self-esteem. Healthy self-esteem meaning that you just feel capable within the certain, you know, ratio of what you're talking about to self-esteem, right? And so part of just being a human is that there's always going to be polarity. There's always going to be good and bad. That's what balances things, you know, and there's even such a thing as toxic shame and healthy shame. So for narcissism, in fact, healthy shame is when something happens to make us feel like we're not God. And that helps put us back into remembering that we need to do things to keep us safe and to keep us grounded and able to have community, right? Whereas toxic shame, you know, like deep abuse, things that are very violating of boundaries, that actually pushes us fully over in the spectrum of no self-worth in that parameter where we have to do a lot of work to get out of that because we feel like it's our fault. You know, there's a lot of symptomatic things that can come with that from anybody who's a survivor. So it's really important to acknowledge that the picture of self-worth at the end of the day isn't this, and I love that you said that, isn't a sense of perfectionism or this pristine thing. You know, it's not even actually achieving, you know, like let's even go back to manifestation, New Age rhetoric, achieving constant positivity.
Right.
It's just not. It's the human experience. It's like, how do we chip away at the things we've experienced in life that hold us back from feeling that healthy sense of capability in ratio to what we want? That's what's going to create magnetism. So it's really looking at the things that are blocking us, that are still living in our subconscious, that even if on the conscious realm, we're like, oh, we're fine, we're over that. That thing that happened, you know, and I'm not even like from small, something very small, like being teased maybe in school, maybe blocking some way that we can't public speak, right, and excel in our career as an artist. Let's just say as an example, maybe on the conscious plane, we've dealt with that, that's fine. But on the subconscious plane, we're still looping that we're not worthy enough or good enough. You know, we've been moved into that department of low self-esteem. Well, we can actually go down there through simple hypnosis. There's many tools that exist today, EMDR. I use a plethora of them, but hypnosis has always been traditionally the most effective for me. That you can get down there, you can bring your subconscious forward, you can get into that, you know, theta state. And in that state, it can't tell what's real or not real. So you can start to reprogram that actuality of what happened. And so the real key is like, I think magnetism happens in levels. Like you just keep up leveling and up leveling and up leveling. I still have never reached that utopic perfectionism, pure bliss, happiness space. So I don't think that should be the objective. It's one thing if, you know, somebody's on the conscious pursuit of fully trying to reach enlightenment. That's a whole journey.
Yeah.
I like to really keep, and I think we talk about this a lot as a brand, our intention here is to really, especially in 2020, we've been talking about a lot, to make this the go-to place for practical manifestation. Literally, how to have grounded tools and steps to manifest anything you want, even though we have so much feedback. You know, we're actually launching this in January, this thing called the motivation. And so it's going to be this portal that literally has every single testimonial we've even like grasped, you know, and we have them in the thousands now. So these are people whose lives are shifting and they're manifesting everything they want, like profound shifts. And I think the really important thing to have that is that it reflects back to any and every one of us, no matter what we're manifesting, that such is possible for us. And I think the overall messaging that's really important and really responsible to have, you know, as a brand and both with ourselves personally as humans, is it's just not about that perfectionism. It's about, again, finding and getting to that place of healthy self-esteem, expansion, and being able to set really strong boundaries, which I call passing tests.
100%. Yeah. And it's also interesting too, because like if you take something so grand as manifestation. Like, it doesn't have to be a tangible item. It totally can be. If you want to manifest an experience or a relationship or a partner, or if you want to manifest a job, amazing. But you can also manifest like a different version of self. And that's part of up-leveling, you know, like you can manifest like yourself having healed an issue, or you can manifest like yourself being more confident. Like there's so like you can manifest literally anything you want.
100%. And I think like a lot of manifestation that exists out there, well, there's two sides of it. Some of it's to reach, I think, a form of, you know, detachment, and another is to, you know, reach a form of materialism. And it's fascinating when I actually launched this, because I literally do just teach people how to manifest. I kind of like cracked my code of it, my version of it. I didn't realize it would be such a beautiful, like, dangling carrot, because so many of us are in a place that makes us unhappy, that we're not at our potential, right? May it be in career, love, finance, you know, and people, because we've been messaged through society, especially millennials with advertising.
Yeah.
And beyond, generations beyond that, we've been messaged so strongly, you know, post industrialism, that in order to be happy, we have to reach X, Y, and Z. And it needs to look like this, mm-hmm. whatever our community version of that is, that many of us feel that once we get that, we'll be happy. Or like, once we get that, we're going to be in a really strong place. And the really interesting thing is when I released this, I didn't even think about manifestation of those things that have been messaged to us to be happy would be this like incredible dangling carrot to motivate people to actually do the work. But in fact, once people actually reach those things, X, Y, and Z, and like, let's just put it, you know, I think finance is a really great example of this. When you reach a certain stride in finance and you're doing this work, yeah, sure, you get a little crazy for a while. You go out and buy the things you couldn't buy, or, you know, whatever. You have your moment, but then it's fascinating because you hit a point where you're like, I can't think of anything else I want. What do I want to do? I want to help other people. What do I want to do? I want to improve myself so much deeper, make myself so much happier and healthier. And I don't just mean physically, I mean like mentally, emotionally. So it's so interesting that, or it's actually so rewarding to, for us to be a part, you know, a part of a brand and a founder of a brand that have helped literally thousands of people achieve on, sure, the material lane, plane, but also most importantly, they're literally turning into these more conscious, happy, worthy beings, you know? So it's like, sure, that exists, the material stuff. Of course, you can have it. You can manifest anything in that realm very simply, actually, when you learn it. But what's even cooler is at the end of the day, you get to wake up more authentically yourself, happier with yourself, whomever you're waking up with. If that's something you desire, they're a lot more of a reflection of what your soul and heart desires rather than what society told you you needed to be happy. Same goes for the material possessions in your life, or what you really consider, your soul really considers as home and a habitat. It shifts dramatically. And something that was really fun and exciting when I did actually used to take clients, I would get people writing in and they would be like, whoa, I came to you 3 months ago because I wanted to manifest a house. Holy shit, I don't even think I want all of the things I thought I wanted. I don't even think I'm the same person anymore. And then that would actually be really confusing to them and startling to them, because they had been operating for so long on this messaging that they thought they had to be. And when they got just a little taste of like, who am I actually? And then that gets scary, because we've lived as this other modality for so long. And now we're starting to get in touch with who we really are. And whoa, the potential that that version of us could have, what that version of us actually desires, that might be actually different than, you know, societal grain, even better. That's when they have like a little bit of a, oh my gosh, what's happening moment, until their nervous system is like strong enough for that, you know, new level they're going to. And of course, what they end up manifesting and becoming is so much better than what they could imagine, myself included.
100%. Yeah. I mean, even when, like, when you're going through the process, there's a component of it where you have to really figure out like, okay, where did this desire kind of come from to want to do this? And you kind of really have to look at yourself and be like, whoa, like I only I only want this out of ego, or I only want this to spite my ex, or I only want this to like show those kids who were mean to me in kindergarten. You know what I mean? And then you're like, what do I actually want? Who am I truly? And that layer of yourself gets to come out and come to fruition, you know, which is amazing.
Completely. I mean, I look back at when I used to be an actress and the things I desired that I would put on my list, which none of it would make me happy now. They would be outrageous stuff. You know, it was like an Oscar, a house in Malibu, you know. And when I really did the work on that, like a lot of actors that exist out there, and I got down to the root, I was like, fuck, I'm doing all of this so that finally my parents think I'm good enough, mm-hmm. you know? And you go, okay, cool. Now that that layer is gone, who am I and what do I actually want?
Yeah. It's rewarding when you finally are able to unlock those layers of yourself and like, whoa, I'm really doing this because of this, because of this, because of this. And okay, now we can start to relinquish that programming of that looping that's going on down there, which is amazing.
Completely. I agree.
So talk a little bit about one section of the manifestation process, which is your deep imagining, which is like a term that you've coined and kind of really owned this entire space of like this hypnosis process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not the first to teach hypnosis by any means, but I did. You know, what's really interesting is I grew up, which many people know who have tuned into the podcast and this brand, but I grew up amongst many caretakers. So I would be at four different houses in 1 week. Often it would be, you know, my parents were really young when they had me. So it would be like my mom and her boyfriends, if she had any, and my dad and his girlfriends when he had some, my aunt and uncle, and then my grandparents, my paternal grandparents. And my grandmother, I'm so fortunate that she was so into everything. I mean, she was a huge self-educator. So not only was she into politics and anything to do with medicine, but she was really into alternative lifestyle. And so during the summers, I would spend a lot of time at their house that they had in Santa Cruz. And she would always be off doing really trippy stuff. I mean, my grandpa, who's like a full-blown conservative, he was like a president of banks for farmers and agriculture lending. And she would take him to like naked retreats in hot springs to go try all of these things with her. And she was, now when I look back, she was deeply, deeply into hypnosis. She used it often on herself. And back then, I mean, this was the early 90s, she was working with neuroplasticity. And I don't even think much of it had been fully discovered and educated in the public at that time. But now I have her whole collection of books because she's since passed. And all of her books are on like channeling hypnosis. And it's funny because I kind of discovered this myself after trying a lot of different modalities of tapping and these things that didn't really work on me or serve me. I like to say that when we have really low self-worth, our subconscious is really, really smart. So it doesn't want to believe these things were shifting. That's why things like affirmations don't really work on me. My subconscious is so intelligent that it's like, whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. So to be able to use that science, literally, and hypnosis, I know it's been portrayed. I think a lot of us are educated enough now, but it certainly has been portrayed in media where it's like you get put to sleep or you don't have control of, and it's not at all. It's a deep meditation. That's all hypnosis is. It's moving into a theta state and it's bringing that subconscious forward. So it's really just relaxing your entire nervous system, bringing that subconscious forward so you can unlock and remap your brain. It's literally like you can do a little bit of, you know, brain surgery of memories and loops. And so I have a little bit of a different process towards it than traditional hypnosis, which I have experienced in the past and hasn't been that effective for me. In fact, through trying those modalities with hypnotists, I was like, God, my subconscious is still not buying this, you know? And because that model is very much layered in, again, sort of a form of spiritual bypass, it's reinforcing already the positive. It's like, we don't care about the root, where something came from. Let's just reinforce now, essentially, the new affirmation of self. And my brain's like, yeah, right, forget it. But I started to notice when I would kind of veer away from what I was being shown and just move more into my brain wanted to see, where did you pick this up from? Like, where is this really from? And I realized that you can access that very simplistically when you're under in that theta state. And so when my brain could see it,
then it was like, holy shit, I have to feel this all the way. Whoa, forgot this was down there. And then it, on top of that, it was like, okay, cool. Well, what can I do in this moment that's actually believable while I'm down there that will put me in my worth in this situation? Doesn't mean everyone's peachy, everything's healed. But so that this version of myself, when it was experienced this block, what can I do to rewrite the story enough that it's believable that I can be in my worth? And so then I was like, I'm onto something, because I started to see like really tremendous shifts happening very quickly. And so I worked on that a lot with my clients, and I started to see the same thing. So that's why I was like, I can't really call this hypnosis, even though when I explain it, it helps people understand what it is. But I had to create my own version and trademark it, which is deep imaginings. And that's what they are. They're, you go into a very deep state and you imagine and rewire your reality until you create enough neural pathways to reconnect and loop on that and project that out instead of the old. And the old meaning our subconscious brain, it's, you know, our limbic brain, and it loops on those fear settings a lot. And it's not, it's actually, it has, you know, a benefit. It's doing it to save us. And so it's like, don't touch fire again so you don't die. Stay out of the way of, you know, an animal that can eat and kill you, you know? So it's this, these prehistoric measures to try to keep us safe that we don't really, in first world countries especially, deal with as much anymore. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a spectrum of that, of people who are always dealing with certain levels of unsafety wherever you live. But for the most part, for people who are living in areas where they do, you know, have a certain level of safety, we have that old prehistoric looping happening where it's like, well, how do we get down there and shift how it loops? And so that's what these deep imaginings are. They're very simple. There's nothing too crazy about them or out there. It's just a little bit of re-brain mapping.
It's so interesting because when I was in therapy before getting introduced to your work, and my therapist was like, you know, because I really wanted to go deeper in the work, and she recommended I do hypnosis. She was like, well, maybe you just need to like do some work in your subconscious. And it's, you know, how she kind of explained it to me was like, you're able to access further memories when you're, you know, your systems calm down, when you're laying down, when you feel relaxed, when you feel safe and comfortable. And you're able to, that's why people, you know, are interested in meditation, because you're able to access different parts of the brain and kind of just like let your brain process through whatever feelings it's going through. and it was like the next day, someone's like, Lacey Phillips has deep imaginings, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God, I am so powerful. I brought this into my life. This is amazing. It was like exactly what I needed.
Thank you. No, and I think a really important thing to say too is, you know, there's such a thing as whole brain integration. And apparently, and I learned this through a therapist who was a client of mine who introduced me to EMDR, that when we experience any form of trauma, and again, trauma, you know, people hear that word and they're like, well, I haven't been through anything that traumatic. Shame is just at the root of every small to large on the spectrum of trauma. It's just whenever you experience shame, that's when our nervous system locks up. And the way she sort of explained it to me is that something like EMDR, which is a modality that I totally love as well. People mention Psych K a lot. I truthfully find EMDR to be way more effective for me personally, but I'm all about use whatever is going to remap your brain. That's super important. And apparently, the person who discovered EMDR is that they realized that the eyes lock when you experience trauma, amongst other bodily things that happen. And so they started to realize that through sleeping and rapid eye movement, that that's how we, that kind of, that's what we're doing, right? When we're sleeping is processing our subconscious stuff. And it's like, what do we keep? What do we lose kind of stuff? You know, it's like in the filing cabinet or not. And they started to notice that when eyes move both ways, focusing, you know, both ways back and forth, there's actually a whole brain reintegration that happens with that. And so I find that really important, like a really important part of this process. So that's why in a lot of our new deep imaginings, we have little cues. We just released them in January. We have, or we will be releasing them in January, and we have, I think, already put them at least in the daily reprogramming exercise, you know, back in November. So they have little whole brain integration cues that I found to be helpful. So I think that's a really big part of the process is like, get down there, really see it. And so like in EMDR, what happens is while you're doing that left, right, left, right, left, right, you're feeling and living out the experience. You know, you're bringing up that most triggering level 10 of whatever the subject is you're focusing on. And then you're left, right, left, right, but you're feeling all of your feelings through it. And then you move on to a new memory because it's like a spider web. It takes you through all of the memories where this type of stimulation is attached to. And so that way you're able to have this whole brain integration so it can kind of dissolve and leave. And so I think that's really important for, you know, why this model of hypnosis is a little bit stronger for me. My brain needs to go through. It needs to see it. It needs to feel the feelings all the way to emotionally clear them out of my body. It has to see like I'm no longer that version of myself. It has to see what the new story can be, even if it's just one step forward. And then again, having those whole brain integration cues allows it to move through my nervous system. So I find that personally to be a lot more effective than just traditional hypnosis, which is probably the experience you're talking about and the experience I also experienced as well.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm quickly interrupting this incredibly expansive episode to talk about Osea. I love this company. As soon as I got to try it, I was so keen to partner with them. They're incredible. So it's a family-owned company. The way that it even sort of started to percolate is that the founder's grandmother was the first chiropractic woman in the US, first woman to go to chiropractic school, ended up injuring herself, had a dream one night, she was a seer, that the ocean would heal her. So in midwinter, she went to the Long Island Channel and she swam and in the matter of months healed herself. And so seaweed's at the foundation of their products. They use very, very clean sourced seaweed right now from Patagonia. And I'm especially obsessed with it at this moment because they have a lot of unscented products that are really high end. So it's really mineral rich, bioavailable because of the seaweed. The packaging is completely non-toxic in glass. It's cruelty-free, vegan, and as I said before, a family-owned business. I selfishly am obsessed with it because everything comes in travel size. So personally, I'm traveling on the speaking tour. I'll be traveling with their mineral vitamin boost and also their hyaluronic acid. You heard me fumble many times saying that on the episode, but I think it's absolute magic, and their brightening serum. So if you are interested in checking out Osea, which you know I don't partner with people often, and if I do, I really believe in their product, they're offering with the code TOBEMAGNETIC under caps, lowercase, for $10 off your first purchase of $50 or more and free shipping on all US orders over $75. And speaking of packing and heading out, I am coming to you London very soon in January, in fact, for the speaking tour. And I'm really excited those gift bags. I know we've been talking about gift bags a lot, but they're really shaping up. Things you have to look forward to of our gifting sponsors. This is gifting out of the kindness of their hearts to you is Boda, which is who we use in-house for all of our eye masks for each of the deep imaginings. Cora Organics is going to also be contributing beautiful feminine hygiene that's of high quality, beautiful design, and of course, our amazing sponsors who are in this episode, Osea, who you've gotten to hear about. You can look forward to Sun Potion, my favorite go-to, the Balm Nucifera. I've talked about it endlessly. We've actually had Meredith on the podcast. And in the link below, you can find an excellent blog post we had when Nucifera was just launched of, I think, the 30 different ways you can use the balm. I can't wait to see you in London. Go ahead and follow the link below to get your ticket. And after that, February, I'll be in Sydney, Australia, as well as March in Vancouver, BC. You can get your tickets below. And now back to this episode.
I I think having the opportunity, even just like on a daily basis, to be, you know, if you subscribe to the work, if you're a Pathway member, whatever, if you own the DRE workshop, you have the ability to just have these deep imaginings to turn to sort of process them at your convenience, which was something that, you know, you don't always have access. Not saying it's like in replace of therapy or any of that tough work or anything like that, but like at least you have this tool in your toolkit to turn to at any point in time whenever you need that support.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, I'm a huge advocate of doing this work with your therapist, with your support group, whomever you're using as that source of support and stability. I, like you, used to try therapy and it was like I was already like beyond my therapist, but now it's really not beyond like I'm more educated or anything like that, but like you, I was like, oh no, deeper, like I just want to hit this thing and kind of be done with it. Yes. You know, I get the awareness, I totally understand that, and so that's where talk therapy wasn't super effective for me, but I've now since gone on to meet many therapists that include so many of these types of tools, may it be EMDR, so many, like even Equine. Oh God, we both like to get, there you go. See, glad we have each yes. other in this. Therapy, you know, a good friend of mine who does this work has been using that with her therapist, including EMDR, and just these ways to take things into the nervous system, into the subconscious brain. So it's not just talk and awareness based, but like deep integration and shifts. And so I only like to suggest, just from my own personal experience, if you are in the market for a therapist or if you're doing this work with a therapist in conjunction, just seeking out one that has like this deeper tool bag that can really help you have these like reprogramming experiences.
100%. And it's amazing that I think therapy is becoming more normalized, but you know, unfortunately not everybody has access to afford totally. Therapists on a regular basis. It is expensive.
I remember I was totally in that same boat. I remember, yeah, like in acting, I went to go audition for this. And I, at the time, was, you know, waitressing. And I went to audition for this one acting teacher. And it was so funny. Within minutes, she goes, "Was your mom an alcoholic?" And I was like, "Yeah, she is." She's like, "I can tell by the way you carry your voice. I suggest you go to therapy and, you know, like traditional therapy and go to this voice coach and you'll shift your acting career." And whoa. At that time I was still like heavily into the spiritual bypass stuff. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it was like, okay, I really want this acting thing to work out. So I am going to seek a therapist, but I didn't have any money. And there's this place in LA, it's like all the way in Beverly Hills. It's a sliding scale based on your income. And I think at the time I had to pay $30 even to go to that. And it was primarily students that were still in the process of, you know, earning their degree and licensing, and $30 was still so expensive to me to go once a week. It was so expensive yeah. at the time. There was a point where $30 was the amount I had for groceries for the week. And then when I got there, I think because the person was still in training or what was happening, they weren't doing anything. They were just literally listening. And I was like, okay, I'm paying the gas money to get here. And then I also have to pay like basically my amount in groceries a week to see you, and I'm not getting any shifts. And that's where, and that was one of my second entries into therapy. I've since gone on to try other therapists who are, you know, wonderful. And I think everybody's wonderful, but I do think you get a lot more bang for your buck if you can afford that model of help, if you can find a therapist that has these deeper tools and languaging with them.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a trial and error too. Like you have to find someone that works and resonates with you, because everybody's different and they're going to relate to a different type of it.
Completely.
But yes, that was shifting into the therapy mode a little bit.
Yeah. We're all about it.
Yes. So that's amazing. So then essentially the three components that we have with manifestation has to revolve around this unblocking and then expanding and sort of passing tests, which is kind of what you were speaking to earlier. It's just hitting these three core things.
Right. So to be comparative, in like old manifestation, new age rhetoric that I think is what keeps manifestation such a small topic, you know, in the world, or people, you know, view it as like very woo-woo and all of that. Let's equate it to the three messages we receive primarily from that type of manifestation. Number one is thinking positive and always being in vibration. Number two is visualizing what you want. And then number three is making sure that that you are, how do I put it energetically? Number three would be like, what would, well, here, I'll kind of explain our theory and then I'll associate it back to that. But for us, I realized that none of those things were really serving me. And like I said in the beginning, and so I started to actually discover that rather than anything to do with positivity, the true law of attraction is self-worth. And so in order to get to a place of self-worth rather than, and you know, I've used this example so much, people in this community are probably like, I get it. But for the new listener, narcissists, if you look at them, are some of the best manifestors on the planet. Why? Because they truly believe that they're deserving of and believe in what they say, you know, and it's actually, I'm just using a really big public figure, but Trump actually is a version of this, right? He manifests a lot of the things he wants. May we agree that it's good or bad or, you know, whatever your political standpoint might be. But he's a damn good manifester. And so it really has very little to do with positivity at whatsoever. And in fact, I find that like myself, like I had been, the person who's living in that, trying to live in the perpetual state of positivity actually tends to be the people who are the least narcissistic, because they, like myself, who's a recovering codependent, tend to feel like they need a lot of validation and invitation to be themselves. Mm. And so, in fact, they're the ones who really get very debilitated in that form of manifesting. Whereas when I started to discover self-worth is really the law of it, that's what really brings things to you. What that comes down to, again, is really figuring out when you're not in your worth, why? Getting to the root of it and changing it in a subconscious state. So that's the number one component. And that really stands in place of the think positive. And it's just very simple, again, getting back to simplistics of psychology. And then number two, a lot of that old system talks about visualize, you know, visualize the thing you want. I still remember doing this. It's like, wear the wardrobe of what you want to become. I remember this one book I was reading. It's like, it's all about the vibration of love. So like love, like list off all the things you love and the gratitude list. And though those are really healthy practices, they weren't doing shit for me manifesting. And so, you know, I remember like setting out stuff on the opposite side of the bed as if I already had a boyfriend. I remember all of these things. And what I started to realize is when I would manifest really big things, it had very little to do with visualization. But in fact, what I realized what was happening was through, again, simple neuroscience, my mirror neurons, we all have mirror neurons. It's how society excels, you know, and continues to have innovation. When we see to believe people either were around or in society or our community that we identify with, who was where we currently are and has gone on to be successful, embody or have what we want, and we don't have limiting beliefs that we aren't equal to them, we go, oh, well, if they can have that, I can have that too. And when we collected enough of those in ratio to what we're calling in, say if it's a house, a job, or whatever, it creates space in our subconscious, believable space that's actually possible for us, where we didn't really have that. May it had been that we didn't have it modeled to us when we were young, or we had a shameful experience that told us messaging that we don't actually deserve that. Going through and finding what we call expanders are what reopens that space and creates space for what you want to come through. And then the third component to it that's really important, even though it's not the whole formula, but essentially the third most important aspect, is what we call passing tests. So Like one thing I used to always get this on podcasts, they were like, what's one tool somebody can do right now today to manifest? And I was like, start using the word no. You yes. become very magnetic yep. because in fact, when we, what I call pass tests, we no longer settle in the ways that we used to in the past. And we actually advocate for our worthiness and deservingness of what we want. And we start to exercise that word more. So turn down the emotional unavailable suitor who's coming through when we just have been like a fuck buddy for so long, or, you know, we left the job that was so toxic and now we're out, you know, out interviewing for new jobs and we can kind of tell that we're going to be in maybe that opportunity can be toxic, being able to say no, even though there's stakes on the line, you know, with that potential new partner, it's like, but what if it is the one and maybe this thing will be different? No, it won't. You're being tested or with the job. It's like, but I really need the money. So maybe I can make this one work. And it's like, yeah, you can, but you're being tested and you actually could have what you really want. So it's those three components that are super important. All three have to be in play at once to manifest. And so all of the work we do centers around finding your blocks of why, the root of why, and changing them that you're not able to connect with the thing you want. Looking to see if you're expanded enough in your subconscious for it. And if not, you need to find your expanders and surround yourself around expanders. And then, of course, the third most important, well, no, they're all equally as important component. Because if you see someone just going out saying no, but they don't have the self-worth subconsciously or the space for it, they won't get anything. So all three have to be in play. Oh, yeah, the old passing test model, I guess, is that it asks you to pretend to be what you want rather than actually stepping into your true authentic worth and saying no. Mm. So it's like, this process is all about getting really real with who you are authentically when you take off all of the messaging and the layers that have been put on you and you go, whoa, who am I? And then you do the work to get really confident and deserving about who that is. And then you go out and you find other versions like you who have this kind of confidence in what you want in the different areas of your life. And you start to tell the universe through your actions that you'll no longer settle for that past version of yourself. That's when you're manifesting what you want.
Love that. Yeah. And even, I don't know why this kind of just popped into me right now, but like, tests can even come in the form of like not going down the rabbit hole that you may have gone down at one point. So like literally yesterday, there was something that came up.
If we really distill down yesterday, what was happening was, you know, there's a form of like, of inauthenticity, forging and copying our company. Trust me, anybody listening, I've dealt with this shit from day one. Yeah. So I'm at a place where I actually have a really healthy relationship with it. I'm like, I, as an actress, actually used to do that, you know, and I think it's very much a human, it's human nature. We all do this at some point because in acting, I'll give actually a really, really candid shadow. Y'all out my shadow here, which we haven't talked about shadow, but this is a good example of me like coming clean with a really embarrassing shadowy thing. So back when I acted, right when my career was starting to peak a little bit, I was, you know, dating this other actor and he ended up leaving me and like getting quasi successful. And then he ended up dating this woman who looked just like me, but like 10 times prettier because of cosmetic enhancement. And so basically, I was waitressing at the time at Laugh Factory and they would come in and I'd have to wait on them like during a comedy show for real. And so to me at that time, because again, I was very much in the like, think positive, you know, I was not at all looking at myself, certainly not in the place of discovering who I was authentically. I actually took that time to be like, okay, I go out all the time for very, we were like, we would go to similar auditions all the time, his girlfriend and I. I'm like, clearly he prefers her to me. Whatever she's got going on must be the magic sauce, right? Mm-hmm. So what can I do to be more like her so that I get the things that she has in life? And so at the time, and this is like even is so silly and embarrassing, but I remember going to my eyebrow lady because she had like really sexy hot girl eyebrows. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I have to get those because that's what's going to make me work more. And if I'm thinner and my hair's longer, you know, all of, again, it's just external, exterior stuff that we can all relate to this.
Like, oh yeah.
Really stupid example. And I honestly will still have patches in my eyebrows forever because I sat there with my eyebrow lady and she's like, I won't do it. I won't ruin your life, Lacey. You have to go to somebody else. And I did, who thinned my eyebrows out. But I spent maybe 2 or 3 years in that grasping space of looking outside of me to anybody who was working and had what I wanted. And I would look and go like, what's the secret sauce? I'm going to be exactly like that and copy it. And so it, look how well acting worked out for me. And so, you know, even though when somebody is like copying or whatever, it's, that's all they're trying to do. And I call that energy dog paddling, right? Like, we're all guilty of this. And you and I actually had a great episode on this in Supported, where when we get the question, somebody's like, I've reprogrammed everything. I've, I'm totally expanded. I've passed every test. I'm in the magic dark, but nothing's happening. What's up? And we're like, the one last thing you haven't let go of is the need. Like, you're dog paddling still, you're chasing in a way. Yeah. And that form of copying, which we're all guilty of, is chasing. That's all, it's dog paddling. And it actually really has nothing to do with us. You know, it's like a, it's a huge form of flattery in a way, because they're looking at us, or when we've done it in the past to other people, we're looking at them of like, what's the secret equation that's going to allow me to have what they have that I want. And so it's actually really important to look at when something like that's going on. It has nothing to do with the external. Sure, this person can be your expander, but you need to look at and distill down what it is you really dig about them, you know. And I would argue, and this is actually something we've just gotten feedback on a lot, and I actually had this woman, you know, from the New York Times, who was interviewing me recently, and she came to the speaking tour, and she was asking people in the audience in LA, they're like, but I've interviewed X, Y, and Z, other people in manifestation who teach it. What's different about her? And they said, she's so authentic. And that's really the truth that we're all witnessing when we look, we're like, what's that secret sauce? It's because they're worthy in their authenticity. And we're actually looking at the, we're emulating the wrong things, mm-hmm. rather than distilling it down and being like, what's my worthy full-blown authenticity? And how do I run with every ping that I get about that? That's what's actually going to lead to what we're looking in them for. So when this was happening, I actually used to get really triggered by this in the beginning of my career, because it's painful. Like, you spend all of this time like creating really, you know, authentic channeling these messages. And then when people kind of just go out and steal them, it used to really bother me. Now it's like, oh, that's, you know, thank you. That's really cute. I know it'll fizzle out in a little bit, because it'll be like my acting experience. It's not going to take them too far. It just won't. It's how energetics work. But what's interesting is that popped up for us twice yesterday, right? Yeah. And that's when we got to go like, oh, we're being tested.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's the example you're getting down to, is you can be tested energetically like that. So clearly something very big for the brand wants to come through very soon. And, you know, ways that we are familiar with traditional testing can be like, an opportunity comes and we have to say no to be in our power, but you can actually be energetically tested as well. And the way we're being tested as a brand was like, are you going to sweat this small stuff? Mm-hmm. This does not, it will not impact you. It will fizzle out. As a brand, are you going to sweat this? And half of us were on board and half weren't, which was a really beautiful experience for all of us, I think, to have to sit down and like support the other and, you know, go through this together. And so that test can show up in a lot of ways. And three ways that I love, I've been talking about this on the speaking tour, to distill down if something is a test in your life, if you ask yourself these three things, you'll get very clear very quickly if it is. One, have you set a boundary regarding the subject? So something like that could be, let's say you've been calling in your company growing, but you'll no longer do a service you used to offer because you've evolved out of that. So you're only going to do this new type of service, and you'll start to get tested to be like, well, maybe if you do this old one, I'll give you a TV show. Or maybe if you do this old one, it'll be a lot of money. Yeah. And you're like, well, that could leave, that TV show could, you know, and that's a no, because it's a boundary you've set with yourself. Number two is really asking yourself, do I feel embarrassed in any way or shame around this? You know, and so an example of that could look like, you've gone on this date with a suitor that you're calling in, and they've crossed, you know, like maybe they don't invite, they don't introduce you to your friends, like to their friends. Let's say you run into all of their friends and they don't even bother to introduce you or acknowledge that you're there. So that makes you feel shame and small. That's a test. Or number three, do you shrink in any way? So anything about this, does it make you smaller? And so another example of that could be, there's so many. Do you want to throw an example of that, Jessica? Like ways that you've been tested where you feel smaller?
Well, even I'll kind of circle back. And now that I kind of have solidified my thoughts on the test from yesterday, like it was testing us, I think, as a company, but I think it also pinged all of us a little bit individually too, because for me in the past, I'll just give an example. Like when I was in fifth grade, a girl dressed up as me for Halloween and not in a,
whoa, and like you as Jessica?
Like me as Jessica. Like I wore, I used to wear like layered polos, because that was like a cool thing, like Abercrombie polos and like ribbons
jersey.
Around my very jersey and ribbons around my neck. And this girl wore seven polos and five ribbons and was like, I'm Jess Gale, blah, blah, blah. And it was so painful and I was so angry about it. And I had confronted her, you know, I was like, hey, did you dress up with me? And she was like, yeah, you know, just as, cause I think you're cool. And then I heard her like turn the corner and be like, haha, I just told her off. Like I'm making fun of her. She doesn't even know. And so when someone copies me now or copies anything, like for example, someone's copying the brand, I feel, you know, like the brand's a family to me. So that feels like copying me as well. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have to like, you know, sit and stew and think of all the, you know, ways that they're being unfair and they're wrong in this situation. It was like, whoa, wait, this is taking me down to that other level. There's no reason to even entertain this. Okay, cool. Like, let's just let this like flow out to the other side, because this has nothing to do with me or even really the company. It has to do with their own situation. But I really had to sit in that and be like, why do I feel the compulsion to almost like go down a rabbit hole? Oh yeah, because this happened before in my life and I had to like do a DI on it. And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that this happened and that sucked. Okay, cool. How do I, instead of like sit and, you know, my fifth grade self was like, I'm going to gossip about her with my friends. How does my now authentic, mature adult self react? Oh, okay. I don't even think about it. I don't give it energy. I don't give it time. So it's just like coming back.
And when you were,
in
that DI, can you, because that's such a great example of using a deep imagining to get to the root, shift it like in real time. Can you walk us through a little bit of the, if you don't mind, if it's not too personal,
no, of course,
the visuals of your DI? Because I think we get so many questions about how to like do DIs correctly when they're down there in them in the programs.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
and which one did you do?
Subconscious reintegration, which I think is relabeled in our Pathway 2.0 as trigger.
Great, great. Yeah, just a little bit unclear.
Yeah, a little bit more clear. So it's also like, okay, this is a trigger that came up. I can go to this DI and really kind of work through it specifically. But in it, the memory that came up that was this example of this girl who dressed up as me. And that was like really, because at first the trigger was, okay, this person's copying the brand. That's what I'm feeling upset about. And it was like, go deeper. When was the first time this happened? Or when was the first time you have like memory of feeling like this? And it was truly, you know, having this experience as a kid and having this person dress up as me and feeling so uncomfortable and upset about it. And it's when it says get a healing, you know, everyone can kind of do their own thing down there. But what's worked for me is I'll kind of replay the situation and almost like I'm an actor in it in my head and reenact it differently. So I...
Same. That's what I do.
Yeah. I just envisioned the girl there, and as things were starting to happen as it, I confronted her in real life in our like lunchroom and bathroom by the lunchroom. And instead of having all of these feelings of anger and upset at her, I just thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know she was so bothered by me. And then I let it go. And then I just sat with my friends at the lunch table. We had a great lunch. I was already dressed up for Halloween as something else. And we like planned, you know, where we were going to go trick or treating. And she kind of just like faded out in the distance. And it wasn't this like, I need to get riled up and fight back and stand up for myself. It was like, oh, I didn't know I bothered her so much. I hope she's okay. And I let it go. And so it was like, oh, okay, cool. Like I can just almost have like empathy for her in the moment, knowing that like I must have really bothered her for her to put that so much effort to like find all of the things that look like me, like so much attention. So I was like, okay, I can see her for her hurting self almost and let that go. And then for me, staying in my power is not even give it like, it's almost like not giving it oxygen, you know, like cutting off the supply for it to even continue to feed and move about.
I love that. Yeah. And what was your aftermath? Did you have to do any journaling? Did you find your brain coming back to it? Or did you find like, oh no, I really feel like this has dissipated for good for me?
Sometimes I definitely will journal. This particular instant, it was a much weaker trigger point. Like this isn't something that comes up often for me. This isn't like a massive, massive thing. This was a like, whoa, I thought that didn't bother me anymore. Weird. It does. This doesn't happen very often. I'm going to go in, do the DI. I feel calm. And then I felt clear to then approach the situation, you know, and approach in real life. Like with this person who's copying us, cool. What are we going to do about it? Okay, here's like some thoughts. Great, good. Let's move on. And it was just had a clarity and almost like reinstated my confidence to like not be bothered by things like that.
I love that. I think that's such a clear depiction of what that process can look like based on a trigger that's not very charged, but enough to make you have self-awareness, know that this is something that's blocking you. You have two routes. You can choose to not pass the test or pass the test. And, you know, like you said, we all individually went through our different experiences with that and then as a brand. And so that's really, I think, a really beautiful way to outline that of how we can be tested energetically and how we can directly apply the work. And I just think, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think that's really what so much of truly being in your power after you've done something like that is having total empathy. Like at that point, it's like, God, I feel sorry that that person's going through that. I like for me, I had my own process and I was like, dude, I've been there. You know, it didn't work for me. It certainly hasn't worked for a lot of people I've watched do this and certainly not the people I've helped. I know it won't really work for this person, but it's like, it's part of their path they have to experience in order to find their authenticity. And like, I've dealt with that so much. I'm like, you guys, it's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's sweet. So I think reaching that level of like empathy that takes the charge out of things is truly that's being in your power energetically after any trigger.
Yeah.
And test.
Yeah. And there's an interesting thing that comes up. I mean, even going through like unblocked inner child, because that has a lot of stuff with, you know, you're going through your relationship with your parents. I think when you get healing in a lot of, or at least for me, when I get healing in a lot of the DIs, I can find both empathy, but then also boundaries, which I think is something.
I think that's so important.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because you can have empathy, but then if you have empathy to the point where you're changing what you need to do to take care of you, that's not helpful either. So you want to get to a place where you can find the healing of empathy for the person, but also, you know, I feel sorry for you for this, but it's also not my responsibility to fix or worry about. I need to do what's correct for me.
Absolutely. And like, just to close off that example yesterday, which I think is applicable to many facets of life, I think you just nailed that on the head, because even as like a recovering codependent, when I get to the place of empathy, I still really want to be a nice person. And I've learned when you're dealing with that level of like, personal instability, you know, like that level of copying somebody. Again, it has really nothing to do with the person, with us. It's like the person's going through something challenging, but I also can't be in that energetic field. So it was like a very simple unfollow, wishing the best. But I've got to disconnect the energy on that one. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to not be in our energetic field, and I wish nothing but abundance. So again, having those boundaries instead of like, you know, I think I read recently that a form of abandoning yourself, your needs in those circumstances of boundaries is like the ultimate version of codependency. So being able to find that empathy, but also having strict boundaries around your energy and your space, you know, your needs. And I think that's really, and healthy boundaries. So I think that's really wonderful.
100%. Yeah. So do you want to run through some potential scenarios of some advice you would give people who are going through different situations, who are kind of approaching this work? I kind of actually went through and saw what people were writing in for supported stuff and just kind of picked up some themes on things that like were bigger things that people had, you know, confusions or questions or where do they start with all of this work. So I just wanted to bring some of them to light, just examples for our podcast listeners and also, you know, the people who are very familiar with this work, get some of those questions kind of answered through.
Sure.
Awesome. So for, this is kind of a broad one, but for someone who doesn't have clarity on like what they desire, if they're going to manifest something and they're unsure, like, I don't even know what I want to desire. I know I have all these blocks and I'm emotionally triggered. Like, where would you recommend they start?
And well, I feel like you had great blocks. Notes on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had great notes on that. Like you, I mean, somebody who's done all of the work, I'm curious to see what, like, where your notes lead on that one.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So for me, and actually this is something that Heather Whitaker, who was at our LA Live Tour, and she's going to be on a process episode later this January, but she said the importance of micro, like little tiny micro manifestations just to bolster your trust muscle to show that these things are possible. So like if you're first starting off manifesting, saying you want to manifest your, you know, massive house, like maybe, and you are so far away from getting that home, maybe that's not the first thing you start off with. If you're like brand new to this work and you're really trying to like learn your, how to navigate it, just start off with like a small thing, like a free cup of coffee or, you know, something really tiny. So you can be like, oh, whoa, okay, cool. Like I can do this. This is possible, just to reinforce it. And then we have a clarity DI and a magnetic self DI, which really helps get you more clear on who you are and your desires for things. And that can kind of bring through like potentially what you might be desiring next. And then my next advice prescription would be to go into our up-level rut and learn your authentic code. Because I think the authentic code is really breaking down like, what am I doing in my daily life? How do I bring the essence of me into the actions that I'm taking in my life and really taking inventory of that? And what are those four elements? So, yeah.
Yeah, those are all really, really great tips. In fact, just listening to them reinforces in me, you know, cool ways that the tools are really, really super supportive, deeper than I give them credit for. And I love that. So within How to Manifest, you know, we talk about it, you know, old manifestation rhetoric. I remember you just throw things out there that you want, no matter how big or what, and you're supposed to just be positive and visualize them coming to you and hope for the best. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was the third component. Aha, figured it
I knew
out.
It would come.
So, you know, when I was making that example, like old manifestation rhetoric, the three biggest messages through it are think positive, you know, be happy all the time and think positive, visualize. And then the third ones have faith, just have utter, absolute, unwavering faith and belief it's going to happen. God, I just look back and I feel so sad for me, who was in a really tough, low self-worth place and tried to have all of those emotion, but boy, was it not working. So the whole test thing, right? passing tests is actually what starts to build a trust muscle for you to actually have faith, because you manifest. The more you manifest, the more you start to trust. So in today's society, I think it's really hard to ask somebody to have blind faith, just how the world works. It's really hard. I think it's something that has to be earned. And I think we talk about that a lot through the more you manifest, the more your trust muscle becomes stronger. So we're not really asking you to have faith. And that's why we have these really grounded, rooted steps of like, do this first, second, third. So in the How to Manifest workshop, another thing that was never really covered, you just throw all this stuff out there. And the stuff, it's embarrassing what I used to ask for that I was so not in my worth or expanded enough for is baffling. But one thing we talk about in it is like a rule I used to have with clients, and I certainly have within that workshop, is make sure that it's believable within the next 6 to 9 months. I like to say 3 to 6 months if you're really just starting. So if you're working within that parameter, micro is amazing, right? Like,
yeah.
I give the example, it seems superficial and silly, but if let's say you're, you know, a person out there that loves Levi's because they were on trend for a while, it's like throw on your list a really hard to find one, like white red tabs or something. Mm-hmm. Like it's so hard to find those. Throw things on there that are abstract and difficult to come by. Not really the stuff you can go out and buy, because you can buy that anyway. You know, actually play with it a little bit to see, and you'll start to build a little bit of that trust muscle. So that's really good, that advice and all the tools you suggested. One other thing I really like to tell people is like, go down the rabbit holes. If you don't know what you want or whatever, the quickest way is by trying and figuring out what you don't want. So it, like, let's say it's career and you're in this career that's been messaged to you, kind of like my brother was. He just fell into it to be safe, and that's what was expected of him. And now he has this opportunity and freedom to be like, who am I and what do I actually want to do? And I'm always like, you know, one of his passions in high school was to stream. And I didn't even actually know what that was. He had explained it to me because I feel like I'm getting old. But streaming's like when you play video games live. And he's like, I was so into it right when it was starting, and it could have really taken off, but I wasn't allowed to do that. And I was like, go do it now. Like, do it. Follow whatever. And you might stream for like 20 hours and go like, I've grown out of this. This isn't really my thing. And I'm going to wait until the next thing that lights me up, you know? And so wait for that stuff that lights you up. Try it. If you don't want it, now you have a slimmer list of what you don't want. So it's like the more you tailor down what you don't want, you're really going to start to figure out the essence of things you do want. Also making a list of all of the things that light you up. That was something I kind of did at the end of acting. I was like, I started to notice I would be reading sides for a pilot audition at a raw food restaurant and like feeling like the sides, you know, that's like the papers of what you're going to say, the dialogue. And I would be sitting there feeling like it was homework, like responsibility, when all I wanted to do was Google how raw beets were really good for my body, you know? And I was way more into holistic living. It's something I've always been into, and herbalism and spirituality and self-help. And so I started to make a list, and I was like, what are all of the things I love? And I started to write them down, and I was like, well, I still don't have a clear answer, but I do know the direction I can start to head down. So that's where it's like, even if it's in what city do I want to live in? You know, what kind of relationship do I want? How do you want your relationship to feel? Writing those down, it's going to get a little bit closer to the core essence of what your soul's asking for. So that's another kind of little trick to getting a bit of clarity.
Love that. Yeah. Okay. Another scenario for you. For someone who's struggling with staying in the worth for landing their dream job, what might be some examples of blocks at play here? So I think a lot of people struggle with like, oh, I've been calling in this job, or I've been calling this next step or whatever, for a long time. I kind of wanted to just highlight, like, what are some of the blocks, and like, what could they, again, this is, you know, there's multiple answers here because everybody's different. Everyone's going to have different blocks when it comes to calling. It's not like dream job equals this block. It's going to be different for every single individual. But like, here are maybe some options of blocks that like people could try to look in certain workshops for. So I said to try up-level ruts to get really clear on the place that they're in currently, taking inventory of where they are currently and how that might be affecting it coming in. So they could have a block of like, oh, wait, I'm doing all these action steps that are signaling to the universe that like this isn't what I even want. You know, I keep staying in jobs where people are treating me like crap. I'm not standing up for myself, you know, so that's a really good spot to get inventory. And then I said unblock full moon because you can really look at your tests from the, you know, month prior and look at, wow, how have I been tested for this thing? And what are the action steps I need to put into place in order to step into that next dream job or whatever you're calling in? And then obviously unblock money to learn your programming and blocks around that. You could have lack mentality, or you could think that one parent is responsible for all the success and maybe, you know, or maybe you can't make good money on your creative work. That's a common one that I find with friends out in LA is that they don't feel like they can make really good money off creative artistic work. The broke artist archetype stays strong, even though it's very untrue. Or that people can't find success in corporate settings, things like that, and really getting clear on what those blocks are and how to find, you know, your expanders for all of that. And then reinforcing those beliefs by using the DIs.
Yeah, those are all honestly perfect because, you know, like even, for example, at San Francisco, the show, we had somebody who stood up and it gets honestly very simple to see a lot of what our blocks are, just like you got to see last night. You're like, this situation isn't right or wrong, but why is it a pain point for me individually? Why do I feel the need to go back into this old behavior? And you got to see, oh, it's very clear why. Mm-hmm. Something hurt me and made me feel shame. And so therefore I loop now and I track that because we'll continue to always attract those experiences until they've been totally, you know, they're like reprogrammed and our worth is out of them. They literally stop coming into our existence after that point. And really, we're all just mirrors of each other to show us where we need to unblock limiting beliefs to have that true, whole, authentic worthiness. And so somebody at the tour, you know, she stood up and she was like, what's the energetics of when things I want to manifest keep happening, you know, for other people? Like I'm manifesting for other people in a way. And I'm like, are you a Virgo? Because that's actually really weirdly common with Virgos. They amplify those who they're around, their manifestations, which is a real trip. And she started to list some examples. She was like, I forget what they were. It was like, yeah, I find myself that when they want something, if I just put a little energy into it, they get it. But my things aren't coming through. And it's just such a simple question. I was like, what did your mom do for a living? She was like, she's a stay-at-home mom. I was like, did she put everybody else's needs before hers? Did she see through that everybody else's dreams were happening before hers? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, cool, go do a little reprogramming around that. That's what you imprinted and picked up. It meant to be a woman, you know? And that's why all of us, no matter what we identify with, have some sort of labeling and messaging of what it means to be whatever boxes we've been put in. But at the end of the day, we're all such unique, authentic beings that there is really no way to label any of us. And so when you get down there and you look and you start to really get curious about like, first you have to take those layers off, right? Of like, why is my stuff not coming through? You know, so career is the exact same thing. Everything you want to manifest is the exact same energetics. And I always talk about this too. I'm like, energetics of manifestation, they know no labels, right? Whether it's like you're older, younger, whatever sex you might be, or any of that, it's all the same energetics. So it's really about those three components of whatever circumstance you might be, what is the next step to being more in your worth? No matter how much injustice you're experiencing, like what's that very tiny next step I can make that's going to make me more empowered in this situation and take my power back, even if it's tiny. Also looking at like, what is the messaging I receive that makes me stay in this state of mind, believing that this is all I can have? So that's a really clear example. And the more we can figure out what those are, especially in career, money and love, they're always connected, which I talk about all the time. But in career, the more we can get clear on that, because that is such a loud message in our society of what we need to do and what we need to make in order to be respected and loved. So it's like, we really got to look down there, and all of the tools you just listed off, and I think you did them so well, will start to put you getting a lot of clarity on that, those things.
100%. And even I'll just add this in too, like, you know, I've worked through my own blocks for career and money and all that stuff. And one, going through unblocked money, but then also taking some of those beliefs through the shadow workshop was actually really helpful, and kind of reinforcing them at the same time. Because you're like, okay, here are these beliefs. Okay, you know, let me take that to shadow, because it's like I'm shoving this belief that I don't want to be this, because it's my shame from, I saw people shamed for having this. So now I need to like out my shadow on this thought on it. And so those two simultaneously were actually very helpful with.
Absolutely. That. Absolutely.
Awesome.
That's why it's like when you join the pathway or you do a la carte, no matter what you end up doing in these workshops, we cannot stress enough how important it is to first do how to manifest, reparent, and shadow. Like, those are the foundational basics of manifestation. And the more you can address those and understand those tools and how to finesse them towards any situation that's coming into your life, the quicker this will all be for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think also another good thing to point out about the work is like, there, I'm sure if you guys are new to the work and you're tuning in for the first time, it sounds like there's a ton of programs and things to do. And you're like, where the heck do I start? Like, I want to do all of this. At least that's how I was when I came to
right.
it. Just take it one step at a time and almost follow your, let your intuition kind of guide you. Like, wherever you feel like you need help or for working on, if you want to, you know, how to manifest gives you the full background on everything that you're going to be kind of covering in this process. And then you can start to unpack and go through all of the different workshops, but just kind of trust your gut and go where that leads you. There's no like right or wrong way to be doing it, but the consistency of doing it, like showing up daily, showing up like when you have those triggers, being able to go in and pop in a DI and see what's coming up, really, really has made a huge difference for me in clearing stuff out, and then also being able to call stuff in.
Honestly, totally. And honestly, checking out, I think, you know, and this is good, I think, for we initially when we're going to be launching, which we'll be launching in January, the motivation. So it's every testimonial that's ever been shared with us. Why I even came up with that was because I'm on this really specific health protocol that anybody who's been listening to this podcast knows. And on it, it's so outlandish in a way, seemingly, but not really, that I just want to like hear people's success stories to stay on track and to be expanded. And I'm like, well, if I want this and what I'm doing, certainly people are going to want this in this work. And so I also think if you're somebody who is in deep into the work, or maybe you've fallen off the path or all the things we can go through, go pop to the motivation page. It's sectioned up by different topics of what you're calling in, maybe love, career, you know, money, home, general, and just start to read them, because not only will it spark your motivation to stay on track, or you know, that it's possible for you to be expanded, right? Not only will they serve as expanders, motivation, but more importantly, you get to hear from real time, like the programs that people did and how they did them and in what order and what was more effective for some. And we share them all. So it's like, that way you can actually go and see, you know, what am I gravitating? Oh, I'm going through exactly what that person was going through. And this is exactly what I want. So I'm going to follow their journey.
Yeah. And even if you're like, oh my gosh, I have no time, like I barely have time to, you know, eat lunch during the day or whatever, like make it work for you, you know, like do the workshops at your own convenience.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't have to be this massive time overhaul where you're doing this 24/7. Like it's totally digestible. You can take it beat by beat. I mean, you can do, you know, one workshop in a full day, or you can break it up and do it over the course of a month or 6 months. Like you can really make it totally customizable to what you need, which I think is amazing.
And this is like, we're like really looking at parents here, because I think they're doing the most important job in the world and have the most limited amount of time for self-care. So I think I just really want parents to hear that as well.
I agree. And I think there is a lot of, I mean, I know I face it sometimes too, where like there's that internal resistance that like I know what's going to be good for me. Like I know if I move my body every day, I will have a better day. I know if I do a DI and a meditation or I journal, I will have a better day. And then there's some part of me that's like some rebel inside that's like, no, I need to get through all of the stuff I need to do. I don't have time for that. And it's like, it's almost like time expands when you dedicate like even just 15 minutes to yourself a day and you show up as a completely different person and almost like are able to tackle the tasks that you had before in a different way because your nervous system is sort of like settling and healing and moving through things, which I think is really helpful.
I agree entirely.
Yeah. Okay, one last scenario for you. For someone who's struggling with self-worth in their body image and lacks confidence, let's say in social settings because of a deep-rooted block that they're uncomfortable in their skin, where should they sort of start and where can they look to? So this one is definitely something that I've struggled with and kind of looked through and had to uncover blocks. And there's always uncovering more and more blocks within this kind of category. But I said unblocked inner child because you can really learn where the belief was picked up from. Was it parental? Was it peer? And really learn like what was the messaging that you were taught around your body and what that means and kind of go in.
And sexuality, because yes. I think that plays into our body quite a bit. 100%. Which there is a whole section in it that looks at like the sexuality messaging you picked up.
Exactly. Yeah. And really covering all parts of like your essence when it relates to your body. And what was that messaging and what did our authentic self truly want? You know, what were we told about ourselves that is probably not true? And then what did we truly feel and how did we truly want to express? So you can kind of work through all of that stuff in inner child as well as shadow. Like what are those trigger words that are kind of like looping in your brain and get those out and get all the shame. I feel like everybody, especially women, but everyone as well, you know, man, woman, non-binary, whatever it may be.
And literally everyone, I think, struggles with body image. Yeah. Everybody.
It's crazy that we all have these human bodies that are all so different and so beautiful, and yet we all are ashamed of ours in one way or another about something. And just starting to bit by bit kind of take back that power over our body and feel confident in our body, you know, regardless of its appearance or if it looks like society thinks it should or whatever. And being like, no, my body's badass as it is and start to take that power back through the shadow work, I think is really helpful. And then up-leveling deservingness DI, I think is phenomenal for body work too. And really finding expanders that are embodying the essence of what you desire for the image of your body and confidence and what that looks like.
Yeah, that's huge for me. And specifically on this current protocol I'm on, and I'm like fully self-aware that I like totally have thin privilege. Unfortunately for me, the only thing growing up that the women in my family for the most part were loved for, like applauded for, is beauty. And so that creates a whole nother like wormhole. And I've seen it through spectrums of my mom's sisters, like one that it's totally ruined their lives, to others that's the only source of validation that they have. And this current protocol I'm on, I'm like a little, I would say a decent bit heavier than I've ever been, which is still, you know, by societal standards, has approval, which is really, really terrible. And even in my body, I'm really struggling, having been a model and all of that, I was really struggling with like, how do I feel in my body? And I have more cellulite and all these things, you know, and it's like, something just snapped in me a few weeks ago where I was like, I'm beautiful. Fuck that. You know, maybe it was honestly moving to the country has been a lot more helpful because I don't have as much media coming at me. You know, in LA is a really, it can be a really triggering place to live because most everyone in a lot of ways, not everybody, in fact, I wouldn't say that that's the biggest demographic, but a lot of people here move here for that vain validation. And so, I think everybody struggles with this. And my biggest key components always in dealing with aging and body shifts and, you know, having freckles all over my body and different things like that have been the expanders. It's been so key finding my graceful aging expanders and finding, you know, all of it, all the things where I'm like, that is so cool. That is so cool. That is so cool. It's so different than what airbrushed media tells you is okay and acceptable. And I feel like it's slow and surely going through shadow. I kind of shortcut it when triggers come up, and I do the daily reprogramming one, shadow and inner child, so I can knock them out at once. But it's the expanders and that are just so medicinal. And then it's also having to make the calculated choice when those thoughts are really coming up for me after I've addressed them on the subconscious, reinforcing in the conscious level of like, no, nope, not giving you energy today. You don't get a win. Sorry.
Totally. I think that's almost like, to me, I almost see that as like passing a test. Like when those thoughts come up and not going down this looping body shame towards yourself, you're like, oh, cool. I passed the test and like didn't take the bait to like shit on myself for 20 minutes or whatever it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, yeah, another test that comes up for me a lot too is like the desire to want to look at other people who have like the quote unquote perfect body, which there is no perfect body. This is complete construct. But like want to look at them on social media or something. And I'm like, let me just go look up what this model's, you know, fitness routine is and I'll get there. I'm
like, I stopped following them all. Oh, I was like, this is so unhealthy. I can't do it.
I unfollowed all, but they're still searchable. So I'll check myself. Totally. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Put that down. Looking up this person's fitness regimen is not like, just do what's natural for your body. Move on. And really passing those tests of like, okay, cool. I really need to just check myself at all of those stages and not, you know, go down that road.
And that's a great example of energetic tests, especially if it was something that used to be really triggering and made you feel small. It's honestly, anything that comes that way is usually a form of a test in a way. And that the beauty of a test is it really signals our manifestation is super close and wants to come through. That's the only reason we would be receiving them.
So awesome. Amazing. So I feel like we've really kind of touched on and rehammered on everything manifestation. This is such a great jumping off point for new people coming in, and also just like a huge reinforcement. I mean, I've been doing the work for a long time, and even just listening through our episode right now, I'm like, oh, wow, there's so many new takeaways. So I hope everyone really enjoyed.
Yeah, we'll have to call this Manifestation 101 or something.
Love it. Love it.
Well, have a great weekend, everyone.
Yes. And thank you, Lacey, so much for giving everyone your direct insight and advice. It is so, so powerful and useful and just changing lives. Just changing lives.
Thank you. And yeah, and I'm so excited that you're going to be a lot more involved in the process episodes and having, you know, podcast experience yourself and having one yourself. I think that they will be really enthralling. So thank you so much for being such a wonderful host and sharing your examples as a fellow member and manifester.
Absolutely. And we are very excited for everyone to be manifesting anything they want in 2020 and every year after that.
Yay!
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
I imagine you have some new takeaways from that, even though it was quote unquote a basics episode. If you were inspired by this and you do want to get started, know that you can follow the link below to try a clarity exercise to even see sort of what this work feels like. Totally free. And of course, if you do want to join and commit, we have the code EXPANDED, all caps, EXPANDED, for $20 off your first month of the Pathway 2.0 or $20 off any a la carte course. And what you can expect in the pathway is a far better user experience. If you're an iPhone user, you can download the app, which allows you to save if you're connected to Wi-Fi, all of the hypnosises, so you can use them when you are not connected to the Wi-Fi. There's new content and deep imaginings. And last but not least, certainly sign up for the newsletter for your chance to win a lifetime membership to the pathway. Until next week.